You can't take away my dignity. Because...
What's up, everyone out there in the fantasy football community? You know what? Let me just not limit it to a greeting that's for fantasy football community only, you know? Everyone in the gaming community helping to keep the age-old spirit of creative entertainment alive, what's up? Where would we be without games, huh? Sports, video games, board games, card games, whatever. Ever meet somebody who plays absolutely no games whatsoever? Like, dude, what do you do for fun? Beat off the world news? Speaking of games, last night the Colts beat the Titans 34-17. The fantasy gem out of this game was Nyheim Hines with 70 rushing yards, one rushing touchdown, five receptions for 45 receiving yards, and a receiving TD. Currently rostered in only 39% of leagues, I really doubt many of you started him. I know I did. Like I said in yesterday's episode, that backfield is so unpredictable, I'm trying to avoid it at all costs. Next week, it'll be Taylor, then Jordan Wilkins, then back to Nyheim Hines. Tell you what, you figure out the pattern and let me know. Anyhow, let's finish our Week 10 starts and sits by matchup after some brief player news. Los Angeles Chargers running back Austin Eckler posted a video of himself on social media running sprints yesterday. "The time draws near," Eckler wrote in a post. This is good news for Austin Eckler owners, as he was handling a heavy workload prior to his hamstring injury, and when he does return, he should regain the lead role in short order. I would suspect he'd be available either next week or the week after. Jacksonville Jaguars wide receiver DJ Chark did not participate yesterday in practice. It looks like it's something we're going to have to keep an eye on for the situation, see if he's going to practice today. That report is not out yet. He had a monster game last week despite working with a new quarterback. He's a number two fantasy receiver this week if he does suit up. The report did not specify whether it was COVID-related, so for now it looks like he should be able to suit up in time for Sunday's action against the Packers. Chicago Bears wide receiver Allen Robinson was limited during practice yesterday. He posted at least 80 yards in five of the last seven games and is pretty much the focal point in the passing game for the Bears. I'm thinking that it's just probably a maintenance day for him. They don't want to put too much on him. I think it's something that we're going to have to monitor. The Chicago Bears do play Monday night, so I would certainly keep abreast of the practice participation reports on your apps, your respective apps, to see if he logs in at least a full practice today, Friday. You don't want to be stuck having him in your lineup and no one to replace him should they decide to sit him. The same thing goes for David Montgomery. He did not participate in practice. Chicago Bears running back. Yesterday, he did not participate. So it's something that you're going to have to monitor as well. Hopefully he'll be cleared to play. I think it's risky, but he could be cleared by Monday night. It's very well possible. That's what's Friday today. That gives us Saturday, Sunday, and Monday night he's ready to go. You just got to stay abreast of the situation, folks. San Francisco 49ers wide receiver Deebo Samuel is a, quote, long shot, unquote, to play in Week 10 versus the New Orleans Saints, according to head coach Kyle Shanahan. Now, the 49ers are going on a bye after they face the Saints, so it would be pointless for Samuel to push through his injury. I would certainly count on Brandon Ayuk to probably be the lead receiver over there. He's going to be good for Week 10 after missing the team's last game due to landing on the COVID-19 list for being in close contact with Kendrick Bourne. He's probably going to be the focal point of the passing attack for the 49ers. Let's not forget that the receiver Richie James also earned some playing time and showed some explosiveness in his Week 9 performance. That wraps up any significant player news. Let's get into these Week 10 starts and sits by matchup part 2. For our first matchup, we have the Cincinnati Bengals playing at the Pittsburgh Steelers. Quarterback Joe Burrow, I got him as a QB2 in this one. He is the QB8 over his last three games, making him useful for almost all fantasy managers who have rostered him up to this point. The number one overall pick, he hasn't been the most impressive rookie. He's been great, but I think that distinction, in my opinion, goes to Justin Herbert as far as rookie quarterbacks go. Either way, Burrow's performance in Week 8 against the Tennessee Titans' terrible pass defense left a lot to be desired. I mean, he got 18 points. It wasn't horrible, but you expected a little bit more against the Tennessee Titans. But they didn't really need him to throw the ball 50 times and score a bunch of touchdowns. This week, he's up against an undefeated Steelers team that excels on both sides of the ball, provided Ben Roethlisberger is healthy. Burrow, he may not be asked to do much in this game. All right. I think that it's really iffy. This defense is tough. Like I said, QB2 start. Joe Mixon. He was day-to-day in week 8 before missing the game with a foot injury and then had the bye. So it could be possibly the Joe Mixon show again. Who knows? If he starts, I like him as an RB2. Do you want to start him against this vaunted Steelers defense? The team who has allowed the fewest fantasy points allowed to running backs this season? Not really, but I mean, you're not going to leave him on your bench if he does suit up. If Mixon is playing, his upside is likely going to be capped at RB2 status. That's all I'm saying. You know, he's probably going to need to find the end zone to return any kind of value. If Giovanni Bernard suits up, I like him as an RB3 against this offense. If Mixon suits up, I'm sitting Giovanni Bernard. That's the best way I can explain it. Tyler Boyd is a wide receiver too for me. T. Higgins and A.J. Green, I like them as flex options, wide receiver 3 territory. On the other side of the ball, I don't know if Ben Roethlisberger is going to suit up. All right, he had the knee problem, and then he was placed on reserve COVID list Tuesday. It's a bad sign for his Week 10 outlook. He's just considered high risk, QB2 at best if he suits up. I would look for, honestly, other streaming options in this game. James Conner, RB2. I'm sitting Benny Snell and Anthony McFarlane. Juju Smith-Schuster, I really like this receiving core. I will say that. I'm starting Juju Smith-Schuster as a wide receiver 2. Deontay Johnson, wide receiver 3. As well as Chase Claypool. I'm going to sit James Washington. He's incredibly boom or bust. Eric Ebron is a tight end 2 start for me. Next up, we have the Minnesota Vikings playing at the Chicago Bears. I'm sitting Kirk Cousins in this one. If you must in a 2-quarterback league, quarterback 2, if you must. You know, there are weeks when Kirk Cousins is a viable streaming option. I've done it this season, but I don't think this is one of those weeks. The Vikings will probably lean on Dalvin Cook once again to try and control the clock against this Bears offense, who I don't think is really going to score much. I mean, the Bears offense is not very impressive. Dalvin Cook is an RB1 star for me. I'm sitting Alexander Mattison. Adam Thielen, wide receiver 2. Justin Jefferson, I'll start him in the flex, wide receiver 3 territory. Irv Smith is a tight end 2 for me. On the other side of the ball, I'm sitting Nick Foles. I just can't recommend starting any Bears quarterback with any name. I mean, despite a healthy matchup, Nick Foles, he's just been sort of blah since taking over from Mitchell Trubisky. The stats do point to a fantasy upside, however. Foles has multiple touchdown passes in each of his 2 games, throwing for at least 260 yards with at least 40 attempts in his last 3 games. And the Bears running backs are doing literally nothing on the ground. So maybe QB2, I'm just not excited about it. As we move further along in our matchups, I promise you I will be more positive about our quarterback starts. David Montgomery, if he clears the concussion protocol, I'm willing to play him as an RB3 if he's active. I'm sitting Lamar Miller and Ryan Nall. Allen Robinson, if he suits up, is a wide receiver one for me. Anthony Miller, wide receiver three. I'm sitting Darnell Mooney. Jimmy Graham is a tight end two. Next up, we have the Houston Texans playing at the Cleveland Browns. And as I promised, more positive quarterback news. Deshaun Watson is a QB one for me. He's just been on a tear. All right, I said it last week. He's still keeping it up. Four straight games with at least 27 fantasy points and six straight multi-touchdown games. Last week, he also rushed the ball 10 times for 50 yards. Both of those are season highs. Fantasy managers, they're going to need that extra production moving forward as Watson and company are scheduled. Their schedule just gets increasingly more difficult after this week's solid matchup against the Browns. This will probably be Watson's last positive fantasy matchup until week 16. This is based on fantasy strength of schedule. With a running game in question, David Johnson, like we mentioned earlier, concussion. I think we mentioned it in yesterday's show. It's questionable whether or not he's going to play. We'll get to that in a second. With the running game in question, I think that Watson's going to be forced to throw the ball this week. And the Browns have allowed more than 400 passing yards in two of the last five games. Watson's a top five option. That's what it all boils down to. For me, he's a top five option this week. David Johnson, I'm going to start him in the flex if he suits up. Running back three. If he's out, Duke Johnson, running back three. That's the best I can do for either one of these guys. Will Fuller is a wide receiver too. He sits just outside the top 12 receivers at wide receiver 14 on the season for fantasy. I like him. He's a stud when he's healthy. Brandon Cooks is a wide receiver three for me. Randall Cobb, I'm going to sit. Jordan Akins and Darren Fells, not really interested. If you're streaming the tight end position, I don't know. They're consistent enough parts of the offense to recommend as a stream. If I had to pick one, shit, flip a coin. Baker Mayfield on the other side of the ball. I don't know if he's going to play. He's still on COVID IR. QB2 if he suits up. Case Keenum. If Mayfield's out, maybe a QB2 as well. Let's see. Nick Chubb. Looks like he's going to suit up in this one. I like him as an RB1 if he does. Kareem Hunt, RB2. Whether Nick Chubb plays or not, I'm gonna go ahead and start Kareem Hunt. Kareem Hunt moves more or less to the RB3, though, if Chubb is out there. Wide receivers, Jarvis Landry is a wide receiver three for me. I'm willing to even start Rashard Higgins in the wide receiver three. Donovan Peoples-Jones, I'm sitting. Austin Hooper is a tight end one for me now that he is healthy and back out there and getting production. Moving on over to the Philadelphia Eagles at the New York Giants. I'm going to say start Carson Wentz as a QB2. Sure. He's been frustrating to own for fantasy purposes and certainly in real life for Doug Peterson and the Eagles. Week 9 was probably his worst game of the year as he had four turnovers total, two interceptions, and two lost fumbles. And he only passed for 125 yards. It's hard to trust him every week, but they're coming off of a bye, and he's facing the Giants defense that he carved up earlier in the year for, I think, 359 yards and three touchdowns. I think it was 3 weeks ago, right? Okay, QB2. Miles Sanders looks like he's back. RB1, I'm sitting Boston Scott. Boston Scott, it seemed like he held his own a little bit in Miles Sanders' offense. Boston Scott is nothing compared to Miles Sanders. He is likely to lose standalone value this week with Sanders due back. The Giants defense has given up the 10th most fantasy points to the running back position this season. So Sanders could definitely be in line for a productive game. This is all assuming that knee injury that kept him out for, two games? Hopefully it's behind him. Travis Fulgham is a wide receiver three start for me. I'm even willing to start Jalen Reagor in the flex. Alshon Jeffrey looks like he's going to finally make his season debut. We did think that earlier in the season. Who knows? Who cares? Okay. Alshon Jeffrey is a red zone threat. I got to see it to believe it. I'm not willing to start him this week. I did pick him up in a couple leagues just to see what happens. Dallas Goedert is a tight end too. On the other side of the ball, I'm sitting Daniel Jones. Good news and bad news for Daniel Jones. Which one do you want first? Let's start with the good. Last week against Washington, he didn't have any turnovers. It's his first clean game of the season. However, it's worth mentioning that he did have two fumbles, both of which he didn't lose. The bad here is that he is still an underachieving, middling fantasy quarterback. He has not thrown for over 300 yards through 9 games. And the upside from last year just hasn't been there. So hopefully he is sitting on the waiver wires in every league you participate in. Wayne Gallman, start him if you must. Running back 4. I'm sitting Devontae Freeman and Deion Lewis. Darius Slayton, wide receiver 3. Sterling Shepard, also wide receiver 3. I'm sitting Golden Tate. Evan Ingram is a tight end 1 for me. You know, Evan Ingram to me seems like he's his own kryptonite. The targets are plentiful. 20 in the last 2 games, 10 apiece to be exact. But for every productive catch is the inevitable wait for a misstep. Now we know that the tight end landscape in fantasy is forever just meh. And so Ingram to me is sort of cemented as a weekly start. Yeah. And this week should actually be a great spot for him to find the end zone again. The Eagles defense has given up the 5th most fantasy points to tight ends on the year. So I start him as a tight end 1 in this matchup. Next up, we have the Denver Broncos playing at the Las Vegas Raiders. Drew Lock, I'm starting him as a QB 2. He's coming off a career high, a week 9 performance in which he threw for 313 yards, all due in part to 48 passing attempts. This made for a productive fantasy day, and I think that success could probably repeat itself against the Raiders defense that is allowing an average of 267.1 passing yards a game to opposing quarterbacks. Last week, I'm going to mention his name again, Justin Herbert had 326 yards through the air and 2 TDs against Las Vegas. How about that? All right, Melvin Gordon, I'm willing to start him as an RB3. I'm going to sit Philip Lindsay. Both of these guys are coming off of dud performances against the Falcons as the game plan quickly abandoned the run. All right, if the Broncos can keep up with the Raiders offense, I'd maybe take a chance on flexing Gordon quicker than I would Lindsay. So we're going to say Gordon running back 3. Jerry Jeudy, wide receiver 3 with some upside. You know, he had his best performance to date last week against Atlanta, hauling in 7 of his 14 targets for 125 yards and a TD. Yeah, you want him to catch more than a half of the targets, but come on. It's Drew Lock. Inconsistent quarterback play, that's a huge part of it. It's also hard to imagine that target volume will be sustainable, so you'll probably want to temper your expectations, Jerry Jeudy owners. Tim Patrick came back also from his hamstring injury. He had 9 targets of his own. He also scored. I think he has flex appeal, wide receiver 3 territory. I'm going to sit KJ Hamler. Noah Fant, tight end 1. He had a disappointing week last week against Atlanta. He only had 3 targets, in which he caught all 3 of them for 45 yards, so he wasn't a total stinker. But with Albert Okunbunwanwabunyam, I don't know how to say his last name, with the other tight end out for the season now with a torn ACL, Fant is the sole keeper of tight ends in Denver and should have a bounce back weekend against Las Vegas. On the other side of the ball, Derek Carr's a QB2, maybe. Sometimes I've been forced to start Derek Carr. Now, he's a winner of 2 in a row, but he's also played it back-to-back down fantasy performances in that span. He's failed to throw over 200 yards in either game and might not have to throw a ton against Denver to get a 3rd straight victory. If you can look elsewhere, do it. Josh Jacobs, RB1. I am sitting Devontae Booker. Jacobs, he's a workhorse and a stud in the Vegas backfield, no doubt about it. But owners still want to see more out of him on the ground and in the passing game. All right. You want to see just as much in the passing game as you do on the ground. That's what I meant to say. He's only topped over 100 rushing yards once. That was week 8. And it's been an up and down year for Jacobs. More so down, if we're going to be honest. Even so, he's going to remain an RB1 with Devontae Booker being nothing more than his backup. For the receivers in Las Vegas, I'm going to say Nelson Agholor, wide receiver 3. I read a stat yesterday, and I meant to fact check it. I did not. He is 8th amongst wide receivers in the NFL for 20-plus yard catches. Whether or not that's true, he does catch a lot of bombs. So I'm going to start him in the wide receiver 3 area. I'm going to sit Hunter Renfrow and Henry Ruggs, Darren Waller, tight end 1. Next up, we have the San Francisco 49ers playing at the New Orleans Saints. I'm sitting Nick Mullins. He's pretty much just been handed the starting job due to the latest Jimmy Garoppolo injury. And he's just been a middling relief. Last Thursday against the Packers, most of his production came in garbage time, which is fine from a fantasy standpoint. However, he's just not a viable streamer, even though the Saints' defense is allowing 3 touchdowns per game to the quarterback position this season. I would really be reluctant to stream him. Jerick McKinnon, RB2. I'm going to sit Jamichael Hasty. Jerick McKinnon had his fantasy night saved against the Packers when he scored a 1-yard rush. Just 4 seconds left in the game. With that said, there's only 2 healthy 49ers running backs right now. McKinnon finds himself, by default, landing in the RB2 spot for me. In an offense that's lacking playmakers due to injury overall, Tevin Coleman is expected to miss time. Raheem Mostert, in all reality, will be held out probably through next week's bye. I don't know. Many were hoping that Jamichael Hasty's pickup off of waiver wire a week or so ago would pay off. It hasn't. Against the Packers, he had just 3 yards on 4 carries and 2 receptions for 10 yards. He's a sit for me. So it's the McKinnon show, I suppose. Now, Brandon Ayuk for wide receivers is a wide receiver 3 for me. I also even like Richie James, wide receiver 3-4-ish. We're going to sit Deebo Samuel and Kendrick Bourne. I don't even think they're playing, truth be told. As far as tight ends for the 49ers, I'm going to say Ross Dwelly if you must start tight end 2. I'm sitting Jordan Reed. Hear me out. Absolutely sit Jordan Reed. Jordan Reed, he's just a dud. He was a dud against the Packers in his return to action as he was only targeted twice in a blowout. All right? It's just hard to trust him. On the other side of the ball, we're going to go Drew Brees as a quarterback 1 in last week's unexpected blowout against Tampa Bay. He carved the Bucs up for 222 yards and 4 touchdowns. He's had a hot hand the last 3 weeks, targeting and completing to anyone who's been open. And I mean anyone. With his wide receiver 1 back, Michael Thomas, back in the fold, he's going to get QB1 production. I think it's going to continue. And a depleted 49ers defense, it's just going to be a shit show. Alvin Kamara is an RB1 per usual, locked and loaded. I'm going to sit Latavius Murray. Michael Thomas, welcome back. Wide receiver 1. I'm even willing to start Emmanuel Sanders in this one as a wide receiver 3 and Jared Cook as a tight end 1. For our last matchup, we got the Los Angeles Chargers playing at the Miami Dolphins. Justin Herbert, quarterback 1. For a rookie quarterback, Herbert has by far exceeded expectations. I've been giving him high praise for the entire episode, I know. He currently sits as the 9th quarterback in standard scoring leagues, and despite leaving briefly during last week's game, he still popped off for 326 yards and 2 passing touchdowns. He has multiple touchdowns in 5 straight games and is sitting at 15-3 TD to interception ratio. He also has the ability to run in his back pocket. There really isn't any reason why you would sit this guy any given week. As far as running backs, Justin Jackson, I'm sitting, doesn't look like he's even going to play. He was barely even involved last week, left during the first drive. Surprisingly, Kalen Ballage came in and sparkled the Chargers offense a little bit. I'm still sitting them. If you must, maybe RB4 territory. Joshua Kelly gets flex appeal in this one. Who's going to get the ball? I doubt it's going to be Kalen Ballage. Surely they're going to go with Joshua Kelly, right? Let's say RB3 for Joshua Kelly. Keenan Allen, I'm going to start him as a wide receiver one. As long as Herbert keeps slinging it, I just feel confident in this receiving corps. Mike Williams, I'm going to start him as a wide receiver three. Hunter Henry, tight end one. On the other side of the ball, Tua Tagovailoa, QB1. That's right, I said it. And it's not a fan pick. Tua has looked like the real deal in the last two games. And last week, kept on pace with a dominant Cardinals offense. He completed 20 of 28 passes and threw for two scores. He also chipped in 35 yards rushing. It is even more impressive that he is doing this without Preston Williams and Miles Gaskin. I think he's only going to continue to get better. I have him as a start this week, QB1, albeit on the fringe. Running backs, I have no idea what to tell you about the running back situation. This backfield is kind of similar to the Chargers story, only I'm not willing to trust anyone. Miles Gaskin is on IR. Matt Breida, he's probably not going to play. Jordan Howard, he falls in the end zone once in a while. Patrick Laird, sit. Sullivan, Ahmed, sit. Just stay away. Stay away from the entire thing. For the receivers, however, Devontae Parker is a wide receiver two for me in this one. Parker's probably been the most consistent receiving threat over the course of the season. And it does appear to me that he and Tua are developing somewhat of a chemistry together. Now that Williams is hurt, I think that Grant or Gesicki is going to seriously have to step up to help the young rookie get acclimated to the NFL a little bit more. I'm still sitting Jakeem Grant, even though he does show big playability. I'm just not starting him. Mike Gesicki, if you're in a tight end jam, you got a tight end on bye, he'll be a tight end too. That wraps up our episode for today. I hope you enjoyed it. Good luck in your matchups this week for week 10. You can find us on Spotify, Anchor, Twitter, Pocket Cast, Breaker, Radio Public, Overcast, Apple Podcast, and Google Podcast. Yes, I have them memorized by now. No need to applaud me. I can do it myself. Love you, mean it. Till next time, peace.
And the first thing you got to learn if you're going to be a race car driver is you don't listen to losers like your know-it-all teacher over here.
Okay, I think.
Chickadee China, the Chinese chicken.